Today is the third Sunday in Lent, and these are our announcements. Today there will be blessing of articles after Mass at the communion rail. This evening at 6 p.m. there will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Tomorrow, Mass will be at 8:30 in the morning, followed by cleaning of the chapel and the hall. On Thursday will be our holy hour, from 7 to 8 p.m., followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. This week is also the first Friday, and so on the first Friday, Mass will be at 8:30 a.m., followed by the Rosary and Conference. That evening, this Friday, we have Stations of the Cross, 7 p.m., followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and confessions. This is also the first Saturday coming up, and the Mass will be at 8:30 a.m. Next Sunday, March 6th, is Laetare Sunday, and there will be a bake sale in the hall after Mass, sponsored by Servants of the Holy Family. Please bring your favorite baked foods and put a price on them. And today is the feast of St. Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows, whose picture we have in our shrine. Great saint. If you don't know his story, you should read it. And on Friday is the commemoration of Saints Casimir and Lucius. So don't forget about First Friday and the Holy Hour on Thursday. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as becomes saints, or obscenity, or foolish talk, or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 to 28. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils." And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house which I left. And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the breasts that nursed thee. But he said, Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The fathers of the church, and by that we mean, it's hard to define exactly who the fathers of the church were because there are so many of them, and there are a few variations. But basically, the fathers of the church are all of the great teachers and writers of the first 8 centuries of the church. Most of them are saints, but not all of them. Most of them were Catholic, of course, when they wrote, but some of them died as heretics, like Tertullian, for instance, whom St. Augustine calls the theologian. Father of the church, died outside of the Catholic Church. And that tells you the importance of prayer. This man apparently didn't pray enough, despite all of his learning. Didn't apparently have a great devotion to our Blessed Mother. Because the saints tell us, if you have a devotion to her, no matter if you're the worst sinner in the world, she'll save you. Didn't pray to our Blessed Mother enough. So the fathers of the church are all these great, mostly saints and doctors of the church. And they tell us not only that most temptations come from the devil, but that Lucifer was the highest of all the angels when he was created. He was put in charge of the universe. That's what they say. And that if he had not fallen, that he would be our great leader, as is Saint Michael. He would be our teacher, our exemplar in love. But now, having lost his sanctity and power, lost his sanctity, with all his sanctity and power and knowledge, he was greater than all of the angels, And now he uses all of these things, not his sanctity, his power and his knowledge against us, bring us down to hell with himself. All of his resources he uses against us. All of his followers, they say possibly a third of the angels fell with him. And so all of his abilities he uses for our damnation. In addition to all of his other abilities, he now has 6,000 years of experience in tempting us. He knows exactly how to entice us. His abilities are so far beyond us that we can't even begin to appreciate them. We can say that if he wants to bring us into sin, he will be successful every time, except if we have the help of heaven. He would bring all of us to hell if we did not pray. And we remind you that the assistance that we receive from heaven, from God, our Lord and Savior, Blessed Mother, all the saints and all the angels, our prayer, all of the assistance that we receive depends on our prayers. If we pray seldom, they help us seldom. If we pray all the time, they help us all the time. Isn't that nice to know? He is not concerned about most earthlings because they belong to him already. He's mostly concerned about you and me. Doesn't even bother with most people. And this is his strategy. If he cannot tempt us to commit a mortal sin, then he distracts us with all of our cares, all the cares of the world. And you know that we have many concerns, many things to think about, don't we, in our daily lives. So he distracts us from becoming saints. And if he can give us, if he can accomplish this, and he does most of the time, then he has a very good chance of bringing us down. Remember what brought him down? His pride. And that's what, no matter what kind of sins you commit, and there are many of them, aren't there? Every single one of them is based on pride. Every sin always has pride in it. And this is primarily because of him. So, if he can distract us from becoming saints, then he knows that in the end, he's very likely to have us in his grasp because we are weak in virtue. And as you know, death is the greatest of all sufferings. And he comes to us with a myriad temptations. And so we who are weak in virtue, at this worst time of our lives, we are afraid. And the virtue that we are weakest in at this moment is hope. Remember, hope is trust. Because how can we trust that God is going to save us? This is what we think. How can we trust that God is going to save us when we have lived a life of lukewarmness? After all, the lukewarm God vomits out of his mouth, right? We're weak in virtue, we are weak in prayer. Do you think if we are not men of prayer, that we will die with a prayer on our lips? And so we have great difficulty in trusting that God will save us in the end. And we despair, especially if we have not prayed often. The grace of a happy death, remember, it cannot be merited. The grace of a happy death. One of the most important graces, we might say the most important grace of our lives, grace of dying in the state of grace. We cannot merit it, no matter how great we are, how saintly we are. We have to pray for it, and then we'll be given. And so here we are dying. We haven't prayed enough. And we have hell staring us in the face, and we have all of our sins, a life of sins. Doesn't look good for us. So he feels very confident he will get us in the end because he's distracted us from becoming saints. Now, you see that the importance of prayer cannot be overstated. Must be men of prayer. In order to recognize the need for prayer, we have to be humble, knowing. That's the virtue that's the foundation of all of our other virtues, humility. We may have spoken about it to you a few times, the need for this virtue. First of all, in order to have even an ounce of humility, God gives us the grace, this initial grace, enough humility to recognize the need for prayer. And so if we respond correctly and we pray, then he will increase our humility. And that's the way he works. He gives us a grace. We respond, and then he gives us more grace. We pray. And we must practice humility. We can't only pray for it. If we pray for humility, God will give us more. But then step two, practice it. Every opportunity that comes, we practice humility. Get down in the dirt where we belong. Make ourselves little. We practice it for the right reason. Not so that people can see how humble we are, but so that we see it. We see how little we are, how unimportant we are. so that we can merit to receive more. Brethren, we do not give ourselves virtue by practicing it. We merit that God gives us virtue. We pray and God gives us virtue. We cannot make ourselves good. Not even a tiny bit. Our practice of virtue and our prayers merit an increase, and God gives it. It's just like everything else in life. Beauty, intelligence. Whoever made himself smart can't do it. Everything comes from God. If you're smart, God made you smart. No one can make himself smarter, not even a little bit. Let's talk about beauty. We all think that we can make ourselves more attractive. Of course, we all have the obligation to appear minimally in a decent appearance in public. We should comb our hair. We should clean ourselves. We should wear the style of clothes that everyone is accustomed to. But we can't make ourselves more attractive. The most important part of our most important feature that we have, as you undoubtedly know, that makes us attractive is our personality. But we can't improve our personality either, can we? Even if we try, which we should do, that comes from God too. Our personality comes from God, and that's what makes us attractive. Personality can break a person who normally would be considered ugly, it can make that person quite attractive. And it can also make us very ugly. And that comes from God. Don't imagine otherwise. So everything we have comes from God. Don't forget it. All of our virtues depend on this foundation of humility. This is the reason we speak to you about it so often. Because if you want to be pure, because you are not pure, the reason that you can't be is because you are proud. God will not allow us to have any virtue until we are humble. Makes no difference what your fault is. Maybe you're an angry man. If you're angry, it's because you're proud. Until you become small, until you learn to love your nothingness, you will continue to sin in many ways. You will be impure. You will be angry. You will be avaricious and lazy because of your pride. This problem of pride was present even with the saints. The saints all had the same problem, even when they were saints, not Blessed Mother. And There is a measurement for our goodness and our holiness, and that is our humility. It works in heaven, so that the greatest of all the saints, highest in heaven, is the most humble. Our Lord and Savior was no one more humble than Christ. And after him, Blessed Mother was the most humble of all the saints, of all the angels. She was immeasurably humble compared to all the angels and saints. And each one of all the saints, the most humble is the highest in heaven and on down line, and we can do it in hell too. The proudest person in hell is the one who suffers the most. One who is the most proud here on earth, and he's still proud there, or she. And it works here on earth. These saints tell us that pride dies after we do. And in the past, we have told you about, and this we find extremely frightening, the deaths of many of the saints was very frightening, because on their deathbed, they experienced great temptations. We described for you in the past some of the deaths of the saints that were so frightening. And this was the saints. Imagine ours. But if you pray, brethren, for this virtue, and you feel the need to pray often, then our enemies, the devils, will have no power over us. If we are humble, if we pray for this virtue, if we pray often. And this is what we wanted to speak to you about today, because we know there are many things we could have spoken about. Many sins were mentioned in today's epistle. They all depend on this and on our need to recognize how important this is. Sometimes God brings us down and lays us out so that we'll pray and feel it, how much we need to pray. God bless you.